Last week we spent some time talking about what we called an honest heart. We're going to spend some more time there tonight. I don't know. You could spend a long time on this, and we may spend a long time. We'll see. There's a lot here, and it's a parable. The sword just informs a lot of things in life. There's so much here. But let's look at Mark 4, verse 1. Grab your Bibles, you can turn there. It's a lot to read. It says, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside, or fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Verse 10, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.'" Verse 13, so now he explains the parable. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So Jesus is explaining what he meant in that parable about all the seed, and summing it up, the seed that was sown on the wayside, the seed that was sown where it was hard, immediately was stolen. We're going to come back to that part. In the stony places, the seed went into the earth and it started to spring up, but because it didn't have any depth, it faded away quickly. So that's like when the word comes, people get excited about it, but then they fade away. The first one, the word comes and immediately it was stolen, didn't do anything. The thorny ground, other things get in the way. So the word starts to take root, but then other things choke it out or distract or so on and so forth. But they're choking out the word. And then finally, there are those that accept the word, understand it, and grow and actually bear fruit. And so of those four categories, which one do you want to be in? It's not a trick question. You want to be in the one where it just got stolen away real quick? You want to be in the one where it was hard, got excited about it, looked like you're on fire, but then nothing? How about the one where you started going along, looked good for a while, but then let other stuff distract you? You want to be in that one? So that leaves one more. How about the one where you receive the word, do what God tells you to do, and you actually bear fruit? That's the one we want to be in. And then there's varying degrees of fruit. Let's go back and look at, well, now we'll look at Matthew 13:8. It's another account of the same parable. Just, we're going to look, it's verse 8. It says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. It says the other seeds fell on fertile soil. So the other ground is not good ground. So the ground determined what the word, the seed was the same in all those cases, right? The word's the same in all the cases. What made the difference? The ground. And here it says fertile soil, talking about the type of soil, which we're going to read in a second. That's a picture of the heart. But it's fertile, so it's easy to bear crops. I read this last time, but the definition of fertile is producing or bearing many crops in great quantities, productive, capable of sustaining abundant plant growth. See, the other types of soil, well, some of them just couldn't do it. Other ones that started to, but it just wasn't capable in the long run of actually sustaining abundant plant growth, affording abundant possibilities for growth or development. See, we want to be like that. You want to be the type of person that you can keep growing in God. That you can just keep coming up. We want to keep coming up. We want to keep growing. And from here to the time we leave this earth, whether it's we live out our days on this earth or Jesus comes back, we want to be growing. If you're not growing, you're stagnant, you're going to go backwards. There's no way to tread water. We're going to go backwards if we're not growing. So we got to have the right heart attitude to grow. We got to be able, to have the right receptiveness to grow. No, it's not the Word of God that makes the difference. The Word of God's the same in all these areas. The Word of God's the same to every person. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't play favorites, but what we do with the Word of God when it comes determines what we have in our life. God didn't determine who bore fruit. God didn't determine who bore fruit to begin with, or who bore 30, 60, 100 fold. That's not up to God. That's up to us. God will work with you, but in other words, if we don't listen to what the Word says at all, we're like that first category, it's gone. We're not going to bear any fruit because we don't what? We don't receive it. We don't esteem it. That type of heart doesn't esteem the Word of God at all. You know, then another type of heart says, oh, get super excited. See, there's nothing wrong with getting excited about the Word. It's just, are you going to be excited 3 months from now? You know, you're going to be excited a year from now. You got to be able to do it over the long haul. Because otherwise, you're just going to open up places for to be taken out. You know, the World Cup's coming up, starting tomorrow. How many of you know what the World Cup is? Does anybody? I mean, I know some of you do. Some people are like, what? It's the biggest soccer tournament in the world. It's the biggest sporting event in the world, but not really in the U.S. so much. We're trying. Hopefully we'll do all right this year, but we'll see. Anyway, I played soccer, and it's a long game, and you run a lot. And these guys, and some of the European teams, some of these guys coming from where it's not as hot as it is here, they're having to be acclimated. It's a steep curve. Some of the people that come from South American stuff, they're like, what? This isn't hot. So it's going to matter. Well, you know what? If those guys run around at the beginning, especially the ones that aren't acclimated, if they run around super fast and they just look like, man, they're going to tear it up, if they can't sustain that, the other team's just going to blow them out of the water, because you might look real good for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but it's a 90-minute game at least. Yes. And if you can't go anymore, they're going to be running circles around you. Just goal, goal, goal. I mean, if you really can't move, it doesn't matter what level you are. If you can't move, if you're gassed, it's over. Well, that's kind of like the Christian life. People are like, wow, look at that dude. He's going. Yeah, but he ain't going to be good. He ain't going to be here in 20 years. You're not going to be here. You know, that person, wow, they're going for 3 months, and then you don't see them anymore. They don't even, they're not even looking, they don't even read their Bible or anything. So that matters. What matters? Our esteem, but not just our esteem short term, not lip service, it's over the long haul. You know, if we go and we esteem the word, but then we start esteeming other stuff more, like thorns, you know, the thorny ground, you know, you start looking driven by money. It says the deceitfulness of riches. Money isn't bad, but you don't put that above God. The desire for other things, the cares of this world, all those things can choke the word. See, that wasn't God doing that. That was us making decisions on what we're going to prioritize. See, if I prioritize something else, see, my heart's after that. And my heart there is not going to bear fruit unto God because I'm going after other things. God is the same. God is, his heart is toward me. His word is toward me. It's just, I'm like, yeah, but I want this. And so then my heart can't bear fruit. I can't bear fruit. That's not God. Now, God will help us as we cooperate with him. Yes. But he's not going to force us. God's not going to take you out if you don't obey him. We have an enemy. And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit tonight in relation to this. But real quick, before we go in, let's look at Luke 8:15. Just read this in some different versions that we read last time. Luke 8:15 says, "The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So it's all these things. You honor the word, you look to it, you heard it with a good heart, and you bear fruit over time with patience. So it's all those things. See, number one, you got to listen. See, if you don't listen, you're in that first category. If you listen for a little bit, you're second category. If you listen, then let other stuff choke it out, you're in that third category. But if you listen and bear fruit with patience, you're in the fourth. CEV says, "Those seeds that fell on good ground are the people who listen to the message and keep it in good and honest hearts. They last and produce a harvest." In the NIV, it says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." In the NLT, it says, "The seeds that fell on good ground or good soil represent honest and good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest." In the Amplified, it says, "But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with a good and noble heart and hold on to it tightly and bear fruit with patience." And the Amplified Classic says, "But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience." So that's the map. That's the playbook. That's what we're to do. It's just Jesus is just laying it out. This is what you need. You want to bear fruit in the kingdom of God? So you can bear fruit in some other area that's going to be burned up and not going to matter in 1,000 years. But that's meaningless. But that's kind of all those things that try to distract you from the real. But Jesus has given us the playbook. Jesus is saying, this is what you do. You receive it. You honor the word of God and put it first. And don't be distracted. That is what is going to enable you or me to bear fruit if we'll look and we'll listen. But here's the thing. Let's look at... it's not just God, and it's not just us. Let's look back at Mark 4, verse 13. Read that passage again. It says, "And he said to them, do you not understand the parable? How will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word." So the seed is the word of God. The Word of God in the earth. The Word of God going forth to all mankind, to people. Right now, the Word of God's going forth. The words in this book, this is not just a book. This is the inspired words of God. It's going forth right now. Right now, this parable is in action. This word is going forth right now. Now, this is what happens. Look at the first part of it. The sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. So that when it was talking about the seed being sowed by the wayside, just in the hard ground, this is what it's like. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it's not just they are determining their heart condition. Otherwise, Satan would not have the ability to take it because he'll try that with everybody. But because of the heart condition, because it's heart, Satan will come immediately. He'll try that on anybody. That's what we do have an adversary, and this is what he's doing. The Word of God will change your life. Anybody. So he's after that. They don't care what else you do. They don't care if you're going to do something else for something else in this world while you're here on this day. Yeah, but the Word of God comes? Oh, no. And that's the target. Might as well use soccer again. But we could use football if you're a football fan. You could use the ball is what counts. You know, if you run fake plays or whatever and somebody got you going chasing something, somebody, you know, especially in football, if it's a trick play and people are trying to get this guy, but he doesn't have the ball. Well, the ball's what they're after, the football. The soccer ball, you know, you can run all over, but it's where the ball is that matters. Satan is trying to get the word out of your life, out of my life. And if he can do it immediately, you're in the first category, you're sidelined. So whenever... There is a spiritual realm. We're going to read a few scriptures. We're not going to talk exhaustively about this, but in this context, I wanted to talk about this because this isn't just us, God, and just we're just chugging along and that's all there is. It's not. This world is influenced by an enemy, by one called Satan. He's real. Now, he's not all-powerful. He's not an equal and opposite force to God. Like a movie's trying to portray, like, you know, there's good and evil. No. God is infinitely more powerful than the devil. The devil's a created being. As far as we know from Scripture, it appears that he was Lucifer. He was an archangel, probably at the same class of Gabriel and Michael. And he rebelled against God. So he's created. He's one of the angels. He's not anywhere close or in the same class as God Almighty. But see, he wanted to be like God. And so he rebelled against God. How stupid is that? So he's smart, but he's stupid. Don't ever underestimate him, but on the other hand, pride will mess you up. And that's what happened. But now he is on the earth. He has a right to be here. And he does not want people to come to know God. He does not want people to know about Jesus. Because Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only way that you can be right with God. So all these other false religions, Satan does not care. In fact, he'll promote them. Because that's not the ball. He'll let people deal with that all day. You can go and you can deal with it and you can be all in it. Go all in one of these things. He'll actually help people do it. But as soon as you start preaching Jesus, that's when he starts saying, oh, no, that's stupid. Oh, that guy's hair's weird. Oh, look at that. Look at that outfit. Whatever. Anything he can do to get somebody off, the word's coming forth. Anything he can do to get them distracted so where they let go of the word, that's the play. Knock them right away so that they let it go. If they let it go, they can keep going with their life. But as soon as you start talking about Jesus, there is a spiritual element to it. That's what's going on in the world. even the fact that people will go, well, there's no, that's just fiction, that's fantasy, is a tactic of the devil. Because if he doesn't exist, you don't have to resist him. If he doesn't exist, we don't have to worry about that. It's just what we can see and feel and touch. You know, if you don't think there's, if a thief, nobody believes he exists, he can do what he wants. He can steal, 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 and that's what he does. So we need to know what the play is here. As we're looking through this, look at what's going on. We have an adversary. So verse 15, these are the ones that by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. He doesn't wait. Immediately he is on it and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, obviously, he can't do that unilaterally. He can't just do it because there wouldn't be any, if he could do that regardless to everybody, there wouldn't be any other classes of people. That he would just knock it out. The seed would never go in anybody's heart. Mm-hmm. So that's not true. Satan does not have authority, unlimited authority. He has the authority that we yield to him. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So they're happy about it. So they received it. They got past the first stage. They were like, nuh-uh, I want that. Yes, I'm excited about it. Start to run. Verse 17, and they have no root in themselves. So they're not really totally established. And sometimes people think they're established when they're not established. And that's a problem. This is instructive. The word comes, get excited. You say, wow, I can do this. Run. And there's an element of pride here because they're not established, but their zeal is outrunning their ability to stand. But notice this next part. They have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Why did that come against them? For the word's sake. So in other words, the word got in their heart, they started running, they got the ball, they're starting to run. What is Satan trying to do? Knock it out of their possession. It's for the word's sake. Notice, it doesn't even say it's for the person. Because if a person receives the word and they start running, guess what? They're going to start affecting other people that they know. So it's not just even about that person. It's about stopping the spread of the word in the gospel. You a person stumbles, they receive the word, but they start running real well, tell everybody they're a Christian, and then fail, give up. They undercut their witness to everybody. Everybody they told her is a Christian, all of a sudden, like, I thought you were a Christian. Nah, I don't believe that anymore. What'd that do? That affected other people. What happens if, though, they keep going? Now they start affecting other people. Mm-hmm. So what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to, if he can get it right away, immediately, get it out, that's it. If he can, now somebody's starting to run with it, persecution, tribulation, stuff comes at people. Didn't say God's doing it. It's coming. Satan was the one trying to get the word out. Satan will bring things again. Now, he doesn't have infinite authority, but he is moving in this world. Let's hold our place there. Let's go. I want to read some more scripture regarding this because we're talking about it, but I want to read some of these verses. 5, verse 8. Again, we're not talking exhaustively about this. but wanted to bring it up in this context. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Whom he may. What does that mean? When, you know, the way we're supposed to ask, you know, as we're supposed to ask for permission, it's supposed to be, may I? You know, a lot of times we're like, can I? Okay, technically it's supposed to be, may I? Sometimes people give you a hard time about that. It's like, you know what I mean? But anyway, technically it's supposed to be, may I? What does that mean? Do I have permission? Right? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, I thought he wasn't real. It's just God and us. Everything that happens is God. No, it's not. There's an adversary. All the junk you see in the world, the wars, all the immorality, all the destruction, ultimately, it has its source in the devil. Ultimately. He's the one that got humankind off, mankind off with Adam and Eve, and he's the inspiration behind it all. Now people cooperate with him. It's not that the devil's doing anything, everything. He doesn't have to. He's influenced people, and people go with him. And now they're making dumb decisions. But it's that influence in the world. It's not God. God is not the author of destruction. He would be contradicting himself. He's not good and evil at the same time. He's not giving life and destroying it at the same time. No, he's good. There is an enemy. But he isn't all-powerful. He can't just come in and just blow everybody's life up. So put that up again, please. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Can't just devour you. It'd say he just comes in and devours everybody. And nothing you can do about it, but it doesn't say that. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. Why would you resist him if there's no point in resisting him? If he can do whatever he wants, don't resist. If you can't stop something, it's not going to do any good to resist. The Bible tells us, resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In the NIV, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him standing firm in the faith. He's looking around, seeing, can I devour? Now, if you're not listening to the word at all, if you're just in the world, you're not in God's kingdom. A person is not in God's kingdom. They are on the devil's territory. There's no protection. So as soon as the word comes, that's the way out. So he wants to get on that. Because legally, there's nothing else that's going to save mankind except the blood of Jesus. So if Satan sees that, that's what he's trying to do. In all this, he's trying to get the word out of our lives so it doesn't produce fruit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Notice the gospel is veiled. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this world or this age has blinded, who do not believe. That's the devil. It calls him the God of this world. He's not God Almighty, but he is in control of things that go on and influencing things that go on in this world. He's the one blinding. Who do not believe. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on him. See, he's trying to keep people from seeing. That's that initial play. And if the word comes, he's trying to block it. Trying to block the incoming of the word because people are blind. He wants to keep them blind. What'll help them to see? What'll enable them to see? The word of God. So what's he after? The word of God. Because that threatens his control. That threatens, he is dominating mankind. People are under the influence of that. The word of God comes. And it's the answer. So what's he going to do? Don't listen to that. What if somebody takes it and starts moving with it? Get it out. Bring stuff against them. Try to get it out. Get them to release it. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," that's people, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." In the NLT, verse 12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world." You know, there's a world that we don't see. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We know that scientifically. There's all kinds of waves. There are radio waves, in the electromagnetic waves in this room right now. We don't see them. They're here. If you were to say, "Well, I don't see it, it doesn't exist," that'd be foolish. Well, see, here's the thing. People say, "Well, we've proven that." You don't discern these things by natural equipment. Just because your natural eyes, just because scientific instruments doesn't pick it up, does not mean it doesn't exist. It means you're using the wrong equipment. How do you discern it? By faith. Your real man, your spirit man, can tell that they're there by faith. The good. But you know, these things, the unseen world, there is evil. You can see the results of it in the world. That's not just all flesh and blood, people's ideas. There are pressures in the world that are causing things to happen. People are being pressured, and they don't even understand that's what's going on. World leaders are being pressured, and they don't understand that's what's going on. Always been that way. There's what you see, people making decisions, and then there's the unseen realm that's influencing for good, for evil. It's happening. You look and say, "Why is that? Why is that?" It's just almost like a pressure. Why is stuff coordinating? Because there is a coordinator. There's a coordinator for good. There's a coordinator for evil. And some people that have nothing to do with each other in the natural, they're being coordinated. Because there's an unseen world. And the Bible says here, we're not fighting. Go ahead and put verse 12 up again. "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Sounds like a fantasy movie. Only that's reality. I mean, reality is like a fantasy movie. I mean, the science that goes on, the quantum mechanics and quantum world is crazy. What is reality and actually scientifically proven at this point, the stuff that happens is sounds like science fiction. And we did not know that years and years ago. We quote unquote know it now because we're discovering stuff. Well, there's a lot more we don't know. We don't know everything about this world. We see things, but there's a whole lot more going on naturally that we can't see, particles we can't see with the naked eye, but there's a whole lot going on spiritually. And that realm, there is a reality going on behind the scenes that's different than a lot of people understand with their eyes. They just think all these natural things are going on. They see headlines, they see just, you know, all the entertainment just going on. No. There's something much more at stake going on. It's people's lives. And what makes a change, meaningful change in the world, is the Word of God. And when that starts being spoken, evil forces try to prevent it and to shut it down. And they'll let other stuff go because it doesn't matter. In fact, they'll promote it. Like we said, stuff that will go, be in that cause. That's not going to make any difference in anybody's lives eternally. Oh, sure, promote this. Go get in this fake religion. Been doing it for 1,000 years. Yeah, and it's not producing any results, and it's not the gospel. And that, see, that's not politically correct. People are, well, they're all the same. No, they're not all the same. There's only one way to God, and that's the one that'll be attacked. Because it's legal. Jesus shed his blood to make people right with God. All this other stuff is people's ideas. They made it up. And they'll try to lump Christianity in with all those other things, saying, so they're all the same. Try to dumb Jesus down to everybody else. See, we just got to respect it. No, there's a reality, and then there's fake. The reality is the only one that the spiritual realm, the unseen realm, is concerned with. And so we need to know this, then. We're talking about it in this context. We need to know. Because look at 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, now, he's talking about something else, but I want to get to verse 11. Now, whom you forgive, I also forgive. If indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of God. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He said, I'm going to do this because I'm not going to let Satan take advantage of me. And we're not ignorant. That means we know what he's trying to do. So if we know, then we behave accordingly. So if we go back to Mark 4 and look at it with this backdrop, we were partly way through it, but let's just start being, just go through and finish up in that area. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. So the word is important. The word is what will change people's lives. The word is what people have the opportunity to believe that will remove them from the influence of Satan. And there, verse 15, there are these are the ones that are by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts, if they allow it. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, start moving forward, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So it tries to knock the word out. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, so they've heard it, they're going forward with it, and the cares of this world, which they come to all of us, all the natural stuff in this world, bills, relation pressures, health, government things, all these things are pressing. But notice it says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. People, when people decide the target is to get as much money as possible. See, God doesn't have anything against money, but when the target becomes this and we lose the sense of what reality really is, that it's about God's kingdom, we're only here for a short time, all that money ain't gonna make any difference in the next realm. Now it becomes something that can pull away. It says, and then the desires for other things. Well, how many things could fall into that? It says, the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So verse 18 again, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word. So the word's there. It's trying to produce fruit, or it has the potential to produce fruit. But these other things that are again brought by the enemy, again, we have a choice, but these things are in the world and they will be pushed to distract us, to get us off. What for? To get the word out of our life so we're not fruitful. In verse 20 then, these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So then we know this is what's going to happen. This is what's going on in every place in the world That's what's going on with every person. People are in some category. They don't give the word any place, and they haven't even made it to the first thing. When the word does come, knock it out. If the word gets going, knock it out. If the word starts to take root, start getting them distracted on these other things. Because what? We don't want to get to that fourth place where it starts producing fruit, because that is not a game. It sounds like a game. It might help to think about it in game terms that look, this is what's going to happen. If you're playing a game, it's like, this is what's going to happen. First thing, they're going to try to knock you out here. If you get going, they're going to try to pull it here. Watch this thing, and this thing, because they're all lies and they're going to distract you. If you knew that going in, you're like, ah, that's a lie. I'm not going to do anything with that. Oh, that thing. Oh, that looks really good. It's glittery, glittery, but I know it's the wrong thing. And if you're in a game, you're like, I know this going in, but just like, ah, and then you die. And in a game, you're like, but I get to revive. I get to do it over. In real life, it takes it out. You might wake up 5 years later and go, why did I knew. Why did I bite? Why did I go that way? But if we know going in, we've got to look at it. This is what's going to happen. So if something starts pulling on us, we're like, nah, I'm not doing that. But I want to, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I already read the play. I know there's something going on here more than meets the eye. There is an unseen realm, and it's trying to get me over there. And you think, well, but it looks so fun and good. All these other people, you got to know the target is get the word out. That's the target. And if we understand that, it might back us up to where it's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I'm going to cut off anything that gets me over there, because you know what I want? I want to be in that fourth category. And if I'm going to be in that fourth category, I got to avoid all the other things that would put me in another three. I'm not special. I'm not better than anybody else. If it took other people down, it'll take me down if I let it. So what do I got to do? I've got to go in with my eyes open, know there is an enemy, know that he's trying to do this, and avoid it. Avoid these things and stay close to God. Stay close to the word so that I can get to the place where I am bearing fruit. But that's what's going on in the background. And we know it, and we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. If we know it, we can't say we didn't know. See, the word is going forth right now, arming us for this very thing. Now, we could go, that doesn't apply to me. And we, in this area, we just fell into that first category. But in all the other categories, likewise, as you go forward. So the word in this area, we can receive it and go, yep, yep, that's right, that's what I'm doing. And now that can bear fruit. It's the same in every other area. And God will help us as we do. But when we hear, like we prayed before, if we'll do what the word says, we'll be blessed. Amen.